Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick. He's the senior editor at WeissRatings.com. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me on.
Sean, scary times on the major stock markets. It seems to me every time I turn on the business news, there's so much red out there that, I just want to paint it black.
thanks, Mr. Rolling Stone.
Yes, and today, as we speak, the NASDAQ is up, but again, everything else seems to be on its way down. Why? So your analysis here, and what are you telling your readers?
Well, you know, everyone has to make their own judgments here. We've just closed out a whole bunch of short positions we had because I'm expecting a market bounce. Doesn't mean it has to happen. The highest gain was like 22%, you know. And I wish I'd put them on sooner, but I'm glad to have the gains. There's two things I'm watching that tell me that we could see a market bounce. One is that Wednesday was a big sell-off day in the U.S. market, and yet the number of new lows was actually lower than like when stocks hit that same price level last week, which was another big selling day. So we're having less new lows, which tends to tell me that the sellers are becoming exhausted. The other thing is that copper is starting to turn up, and copper has acted as a pretty good indicator of the market recently. That's because, of course, everything's bid too high by all this free money that's just sloshing around the market. So, I mean, money's chasing copper now, which tells me money could start chasing stocks. That doesn't mean that the long-term problems have gone away. We are in a high inflation environment. They have said they are going to raise interest rates, and the market hates that, knowing that we're going to get big hikes at the next two meetings. And, you know, there are, and just the fact that the Fed's going to take away free money, that has the market in a real fit. But, you know, there are areas of strength, too. I've been moving people into agriculture, so agriculture is not performing well today. I think it will. I've been moving people into oil and gas. Those have been doing phenomenally well. We've, in fact, taken some gains just to lighten the portfolio. And there are other areas that are also doing well. Today, gold's having a great day, as, like, you and I speak, and gold miners especially are doing very well. But I don't think the long-term pain is over, but it would not surprise me to see a short-term bounce at this point.
Goldman Sachs says they don't expect a recession. Is it because the economy does have some resiliency here and room to come back?
Well, most people probably won't realize this because they only watch the mainstream media. Our economy is doing great. Now, leading indicators are turning down. And so the question is, will those leading indicators translate into a recession? Wall Street seems to have made up its mind that yes, it will. But nothing's written in stone. I am not trying to predict or not predict a recession, frankly. I'm just playing what works. What works for me now is energy. So, you know, we'll go with that. I believe agriculture is going to work, so that's why I'm putting people in there too. And, this isn't answering your question really, but if I was going to tell people to invest in one thing, it's not to take all your cash out and sit on the sidelines, as tempting as that is. Invest in value stocks. We're having a big rotation from growth to, from growth to value. I've been pounding the table about this since January, and it's ongoing. You can see it every time. Value stocks are those with cash flow. They should pay dividends. They don't always. And it's even better if they raise dividends. But those are the things that the market is looking for right now, so keep that in mind. Because when the bounces come, and as I said, I'm expecting a short-term bounce, then those are the kind of stocks that should do well. And when the sell-offs come, and we'll probably have another sell-off, those are the ones that are less punished because they have that insulation on them, which is cash flow. They are value stocks. And so that's really what people should be looking for.
Mm-hmm. Oil and gas have been criticized, of course, for record profits, but if you're running a business, that's exactly why you're in business, is to make record profits if you can. But concern has been expressed that they're not taking this extra money and using it for oil and gas exploration. Would the reason be that both the Canadian and U.S. federal governments are not keen on fossil fuels and are not trying to support the exploration for more? So why look for it if the government isn't in favor of it?
Again, so I don't buy the idea that they aren't going to do something because the government looks down on it. They'll do whatever makes the money. They are making more money now than they've ever made, and yet they aren't looking for more oil. So take that as you will. Now, I think that there is price gouging. I don't expect the government to do anything about it, which is why I recommend people buy oil and gas stocks. If you can't feed them, join them. I really don't put up with people who like try to justify what the oil companies are doing. I don't expect things to change. So, you know, I just tell people buy oil and gas stocks. They are making a lot of money. They're going to continue to make a lot of money. They aren't doing anything to increase the oil supply. So don't expect that to increase. This is one reason. And, oh, God. Well, this is a totally, that's a completely different sidebar. Let's not get, like, sidetracked, but just look at the realities of the global market. Now, if, as you believe, that there is a big recession coming, then you'd want to sell oil and gas stocks because, you know, their sales will go down in a big, hard recession, or at least that's what I hear people warning about. This is the kind of recession that's coming, is the kind we haven't seen in a long time. Again, I don't try to pick that, but that's what people are saying. If they truly believe that, they should be selling oil and gas stocks because oil and gas stocks will get hit hard in a recession. I will point out they're holding up their value very, very well. And so that's the way I'm playing it. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it sure looks like they're being bid up like there isn't a recession coming.
Well, the example, what we're learning from reality is the less of something there is, the more money you get for it. So why make more? Why not just make the same or even a little less? You'll make more money doing that.
Yeah, that seems to be the attitude they're taking. So any kind of, I mean, what financial incentives could you possibly give oil and gas companies that they aren't making on their own? There aren't any. But one thing we should be aware of is it isn't just oil and gas. This applies to other things, and the thing that I'm thinking about is grains. Grains, the market for grains is becoming tighter and tighter. There are probably people in Africa who are going to starve because of what's going on in the grain markets right now. That's one reason why I'm looking at agriculture more. It isn't just Russia, and Russia is able to sell its grain to other markets, not the West, so that kind of dilutes that, but it is Ukraine, because right now there are tank battles going on in their wheat fields, so it's not like they can harvest anything. All the people who should be doing that anyway are off fighting, and even if they have grain, they can't export it because the Russians are currently running a blockade. Now let's throw in India, which just said it's not going to export any more wheat, and it usually exports a lot. So you put those things together, and that's just wheat. I can make bullish cases for corn, for soybeans, for palm oil, all sorts of stuff. It just looks like a really tight agriculture market for at least the next year. Now, we'll have to see how, you know, the planting and harvest season after that goes. The nice thing about food is it grows back. But, you know, in the short to intermediate term, it looks like there's going to be a real price-demand squeeze.
And, of course, on the prairies, we have Manitoba that's literally underwater right now. And that's a big part of the Canadian grain crop. And also, it's hard for farmers. You can't just turn on a switch and say, yeah, I'm going to turn my 1,000 acres I've dedicated to one particular crop to something else. You have to buy special equipment to harvest different crops, to plant it, and so on. So you just can't turn a switch when it comes to growing things.
People should read my most recent column on this, which is at wealth-wade.com. And the story was printed on May 14th. It's still very pertinent, and it's called The Crisis in Your Cupboard. And I've been writing about grains for a while, but it keeps getting worse. You know, so this is something we are going to have to deal with. I don't expect people in North America are going to starve. We are the land of abundance. Food prices will go higher, though. I know they're higher now, and we're hearing a lot of complaints about that. They can go a lot higher because you're competing with everyone else on Earth for food. So, you know, I mean, it's a real crisis, really brewing. There aren't any easy solutions to this. How long will the war in Ukraine last? I have no idea. But that's just something people should keep their eyes on.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, what's your view on gold and silver right now?
One of the bearish positions we closed out was called Dust. That's an American double inverse fund that tracks twice the inverse of the movement in gold miners. That did quite well for us. It really did. I think we are going to see a bounce now. Now, one of the things driving gold lower was the U.S. dollar was taking off like a rocket. There's a bunch of reasons for that. I don't know if you want to get into that freaking story. But in the short term, it seems to have topped out. That doesn't mean the bull run in the dollar is over. But for now, I mean, it's just gone as far as it can. It's exhausted. It probably is going to pull back for a little bit. That's a good reason to have a short-term bounce in gold. When you're buying gold miners, this brings me back to something that I mentioned earlier, and I would just like to emphasize this. Think value. Gold explorers that do not have cash flow are not value stocks, no matter how cheap you think they are. Gold producers are actually minting money, right? So if you find a gold producer with rising cash flows, yeah, their costs may be going up a bit due to inflation and stuff like that. But really, they're the kind of value stocks that Wall Street's going to be looking for. Think about not just the stocks you want to buy. Think about the stocks you're going to buy that Wall Street's going to buy after you. And so keep that in mind. You can find some nice mid-tier gold producers that are cash-producing money machines. And people should definitely keep that in mind.
Anything going on with uranium?
Well, there's some great memes going around. We just heard that the French had to lower their nuclear power production, and they're forecasting it's going to be lower next year, too. That comes at a critically bad time, but it's basically doing, it's like cracks, you know, they have cracks they have to fix and stuff like that. And you know, people can say, oh, you know, this is bad, this shows our problems. But yeah, well, it shows that they check for problems all the time. They find the problems and they fix them. Other than that, I haven't really heard much. You know, I could look up some stocks and stuff, but why should I? I own Cameco, you know, and it bounced. Yeah, in fact, it's keeping its uptrend. So if you don't own any uranium, Cameco looks like a good buy now. Does that mean that it's going to do well? You know, hard to say. I would rather buy oil and gas despite the tremendous run-ups they've had, I believe oil is going to $138, and so we'll still have plenty of great room to run in those stocks. I thought in the past that uranium's going much higher, and yet it really seems to have a very sticky price range, and it doesn't want to move out of that. And I think that kind of impatience is one of the things working against uranium stocks right now. We know there are long-term fundamentals that are going to support the price of uranium, including government interest in, like, developing our own nuclear resources. So I can make the long-term story for you. Many people can make the long-term story for you. In the short term, I don't know if it's a great time to buy uranium stocks. I'm a holder of uranium stocks. I'm not a buyer at this point.
Anything else, Sean, that we should be keeping a close eye on?
No, not really. I mean, don't feel you have to buy anything. Wait until we see a bottom. We'll only see that in the rearview mirror. Then again, if you have some money to throw around, then I could see buying some things for a bounce that I believe is coming. Now, I could be wrong about that, and you have to take that with a grain of salt, but I did recommend a new position to my subscribers this week. I expect that I'll keep doing that, trying to find the values. I'll come back to the value thing. Think about value every time you buy in this market, because we've seen a big shift in the market. And the shift between growth and value, that trend tends to be a very long-term trend. It can take over a decade to unwind. So think about value when you're going forward. That will be your friend, and it never hurts to buy stocks that pay nice dividends, at least if those dividends keep going up. And so keep that in mind as well. But other than that, I'm just, sitting back, watching what's happening. I suggest people do the same. Try not to spend too much and invest too much in any one thing. This is still a market that could break a lot of hearts. We may not have seen the bottom. I don't think we have seen the bottom. And so it could be quite explosive in multiple directions.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me on.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. And what are some of the other papers that you edit?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have, Supercycle Investor, Golden Resource Trader, which is changing its name to Resource Trader, just because they like what I'm doing with oil and gas so much, they decided to branch out on that. I have Wealth Megatrends, which is focused on stocks that raise dividends. I have all sorts of different publications. Jack of all trades, master of none. That's me.
Thank you again.
Thanks.
If you have any questions for Sean or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com and we'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.